Welcome to the Gas Street Podcast. Our vision as a church is to be light for the city.
We really hope you enjoy this message. Well, hello, good morning, everyone. How are we doing? No, we're quiet in here. For those that I've not yet had the chance to meet in the room or joining us online, my name's Cookie. I'm part of the team here at Gas Street. And today I'm going to be continuing our series on our values as a church that Nick started last week. And I'm going to be looking today at what it means to be people that are generous. We're going to be looking at the importance of what we've received, how our generosity is a response to a giving God, and what it looks like to share with others around us. Does that sound all right?
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't, that's what I have, so yeah. How many people in the room have a sibling? Raise a hand if you have a sibling in the room. Okay, now can you keep your hand up if you're the older sibling? I love it. Can we get a round of applause for the older siblings in the room, okay? I, myself, am an older sibling, right? Shout out to all the older siblings. I personally believe that older siblings are the backbone of this society, okay? Nobody talks. Yeah, it's true. Nobody talks about how older siblings are forced by default into generosity that we were never part of agreeing to. One day you were alone. You were the only child living life, kicking it. Next thing, a younger sibling comes along and now you have to share your toys, your attention that was previously on you, your space, maybe you had to share a bedroom. The worst one for me personally was my clothes. Now I have a younger sister, some of you may know her, she's called Zoe, and growing up, often I would hear a knock on my bedroom door. I would then see a tiny head poke around my door with fear in the eyes, and a voice would say, "Can I borrow a shirt?" Now, I'd love to tell you that my response was, yeah, of course. Do you want a black or blue one? Go in my wardrobe, take whatever you want. But most of the time, for some reason, something would rise up in me and I would make her request such high stakes. What are you borrowing it for? When are you bringing it back? I was actually going to wear that today, even if I had no intention to. I don't know why I was so mean to her. The thing is, when I needed something, when I needed a shirt, what I would do is leave my room, go straight into my mom's room, open the door, open her wardrobe, and take whatever I needed with no shame. And I was reflecting on how was it that I could so freely take what I needed from my mom, but be so restrictive with what I had when it came to my sister? And on reflection, I think I took for granted that access to what my mom had was because of her generosity towards me. She created a space that allowed me to be confident that she was happy to give to me, that she wasn't going to refuse dependent on how she felt that day or whether I was able to pay her back or not. But because I was her child and she loved me. And if I had a greater appreciation for her generosity towards me, maybe it would have moved me to want my sister to experience that same kindness. Now, how often can we operate in the same way when it comes to being generous to those around us? When we have a need, we can freely go to God as our Heavenly Father and we expect for Him to do stuff for us, provide for us, give us resource, strategy, direction, peace, and He does because we're His children and He loves us. However, sometimes when we become aware of the needs of others, our default can be to become more concerned with the consequences of our giving, where too much emphasis is placed on what we'll lose if we give away our time or our resources, where we become more restrictive with what we have. Now, I've been reflecting and how a deep appreciation for God's love towards us should move us to seek ways for others to experience the same thing too. So how does God demonstrate his love for us? He does this through, surprise, generosity. In John 3:16, it says this, I think it's gonna come up, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." You see, God's plan for us always was for us to be close with him, but sin entered the world, bringing into question the character of God, convincing us that we know what's best, not God, and so we don't need him. And this caused a separation between us and God. But in his kindness, in his generosity, he saw us. He saw that we did not have the ability to save ourselves from the lies that sin often feeds us. He saw that we did not have the ability to redeem ourselves from our choices. He saw where we were headed, and if he didn't do something, what would happen? And he had compassion on us. He shared with us. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, who submitted himself, becoming obedient to death, dying on a cross, and who through the power of God took the key to the chains of sin that held us and freed us. Freed us from torment, from shame, from fear of our eternal future. And he did all that for free, for anyone that chooses to believe in him. He died for us, just in case, without any guarantee if we would choose him. God's love for us moved him to give to us in such a generous way with no strings attached. How generous is the heart of God? And Jesus modeled this generosity whilst on earth in the very same way. John 5:19 says, "Whatever the Father does, the Son does also." And all throughout Scripture, when it comes to being generous, we see Jesus see the needs of those around him, share what he has, and submit under the authority of the Father by living a life on earth that said, "Not my will, but yours, Father, be done." And if the Bible tells us to think and act like Jesus, then reflecting on what he highlights about generosity can be help us be generous in our lives too. And that's what we're gonna do now. We're gonna be looking at the story of Jesus feeding a large crowd, which could be found in Matthew 14, which is gonna come up. And it says, verse 14, "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, 'Okay, this place is remote, it's getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and find something to eat.' Jesus replied, 'They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat.' And they said, 'Well, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus said, 'Bring them here to me.'" Now, the first thing this passage highlights when it comes to generosity is the importance of being able to see, to be aware of the need around us. In verse 14, it says, "When Jesus landed, he saw a large crowd and had compassion on them." So my question to you all and for myself this morning is, what do we see? Are we aware, concerned about the need of those around us, those who are in our world? Do we see the parent at the school gate, maybe that's struggling to hold it together, the work colleague that needs a bit of an ally, the friend who is struggling financially, the people you live with every day, even though you see them, are you aware of what they're going through? Aware is defined as having concern about, or the definition I love, a well-informed interest in a particular situation. Are we well-informed on the needs of the people around us? Now, just to be clear, this isn't about being nosy about people's lives, trying to get the juice. It's not about gossip, but being sincere in our concern for the needs within our communities. To do this is going to require us all being a bit more vulnerable. It can be so easy to get into the routine of doing things, whether you're at work or maybe at church. I'm sure there are times, even maybe today, when you walk through those doors at church and someone asks, "Have you had a good week?" And you say, "Yeah, you," knowing full well there were ups and downs, wins and losses, so many emotions attached to that week. A generous community thrives in a culture of transparency, where we're willing to be honest about the needs that we have so that others can be aware and truly see us. When someone's opened the door and given permission, it's one thing we can do as a community to see need better is just ask further questions. Just showing a bit of compassion, asking, digging a little bit deeper. Let's be a community that's well informed about the needs around us. But here's the tension, and this is the problem. At times, it is easy to stay concerned with only seeing ourselves and our own needs when we don't feel like anyone sees or is concerned with us. Now, for me personally, I've experienced chronic pain for several years now, and at times, that's driven me to a place of isolation and self-pity. And I've been angry sometimes at God and questioned whether he actually sees me. And if I'm honest, sometimes it's been difficult to see others and be concerned with their needs because I felt so overlooked and unseen by God. And I don't know for you, you might be in a similar place where all your energy, attention, and focus is on a need that you have. And let's be honest, sometimes the things that we're journeying just can't be ignored. When I have a flare-up, I look at God like, can you not see the pain? Can you not see how it's stopping me from doing all that you want me to do? But we have to remember, and I've had to personally remember, what Proverbs 15:3 says, and that is, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, and he sees us. And like Ali shared this morning, he sees us, we are known by him and loved. God is well informed on all things you. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. And I was listening to a song this morning that says, God is the one that knows us the best and loves us the most. And so for me, knowing that I'm loved by God allows me to live a life that leaves room for seeing others because I'm confident that he sees me. Generous people see. The second thing that this passage highlights is the importance of sharing what we have too. When the disciples go to Jesus saying, the people are hungry, you know, let's send them to where they can get resource and food. Jesus says, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. Now, the disciples were keen to find a solution, not realizing that Jesus could use them to be one. Now, there are going to be seasons in our lives where the Lord is calling us personally to play an active role in being the solution, when we're going to be the ones that are called to be the friend, be the community, be the mentor, be the person who does the school runs, be the person who donates their finances. It's important, though, to just note that there are going to be times where it's not appropriate for us to be the solution, where the most generous thing we can do is find a counselor or sincerely offer prayers. But would our default be to be people that believe that the Lord, by his Spirit, wants to use us to meet the needs of his people directly? Jesus, in the passage we've been reading, is basically saying, what do you have? Share it. And there are so many different ways to share what we have. I got married at the end of last year, and so many people who, some in this room and outside of it, so generously shared what they had to make our wedding happen. And they did it in a number of ways. Some shared their time. I know my family spent hours driving me around and listening to me ramble about how stressed I was. Some people shared their skills. They who were musically talented and learnt words and spent time rehearsing to play for us for free. Some people shared their finances. So many people gave us money so sacrificially to help us meet outstanding needs. And some people shared their prayers as well. My friends, and I have great friends, they each Monday morning at 6 a.m. last year would wake up, get on a WhatsApp call, and spend 1 hour just praying for me in the lead up to our wedding. Sacrificing for many of them what was already a tough start, a Monday morning, they had commute, work, the lot. And I remember in one prayer session, one early morning, going on this ramble about how I was struggling to accept that they would also generously be there for me and share their time, and how was I ever going to repay them? And one of my friends, Abigail, just said, "Cookie, stop. God will look after us for doing this." And it led me to think, oh, we all have a choice to either live generously or to hold everything that we have for ourselves. We have the choice to live through the lens of abundance or the lens of lack. And our ability to freely share with others in our worlds may highlight which end of the spectrum that we're on. What my friend Abigail taught me was that generous people don't fear sharing what they have. They don't fear lack because they know God is a need supplier. But what happens when we genuinely feel like we don't have enough to share? When Jesus tells the disciples to feed the large crowd, in Mark's version of the gospel, Mark's version of events, he says, "With what?" The disciples' response is, "With what? What do you want us to use to feed the crowd?" And sometimes what we have genuinely doesn't feel like enough to share. And we're looking at God like, "With what do you want me to give?" We feel justified to hold on to our resource, our money, or our time. And at times, this leads us to become a little selfish with what we have. And I've been reflecting on how selfishness stems from the lie that God cannot provide, that He doesn't want to give to us, and that if we share, we'll be left with nothing. But God's word says this in Proverbs 11:25, "Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And in Matthew 6:25, it says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Now, you might hear me read that and roll your eyes like, "Cookie, that sounds nice. That's a cute scripture." But I've been waiting for God to provide, and it doesn't look like He's making any moves. One thing that's been so pivotal for me on my journey, and something that someone highlighted to me that helped, was seeing the difference between facts and truth. Now, for you, for me, the facts might be that there is a lack in an area of our lives. But the truth is, we are more valuable to God than the birds He feeds daily, and He will provide for us. We need to be people who are familiar with what the Word of God says so we can hold on to it, so that we can hold on to truth. Now, the world will tell us, store up things and take care of yourself. God says, share what you have with others. I take care of you. And the third thing I see in this passage is Jesus highlighting the need to submit to an authority that's greater than our own. The heart posture of generosity is humility. It's knowing that there is someone in more control, with more capacity, more wisdom, and resource than we can ever have. In the passage, when the disciples are looking at the little they have, Jesus tells them, "Bring it here to me." Generous people are willing to bring their shortcomings, what seems insufficient, to the feet of Jesus. And if you know the story, Jesus took the little that they had and multiplied it beyond what they could imagine, feeding the whole crowd with leftovers too. And when we bring the things we have to Jesus, I believe he does the same thing. He does far beyond what we can imagine. But as I was reflecting, I felt the Lord prompt me to actually think about how bringing what we have to Jesus goes both for to those who feel that they have very little in their hand, but also goes to those who feel that they have quite a bit too. Bringing what we have to Jesus is a reminder that we're all in need of a savior. It eliminates any space for a savior complex. Generous people know that they alone are not the answer to people's problems, but know that they themselves are recipients of God's love and generosity, that there is only one person that can meet every single need, and his name is Jesus. It's why we create space for people to respond, where we create space for people to come out to the front. It's not just an opportunity to step out, but to bring ourselves to Jesus, to bring our insufficiency, to bring our self-sufficiency. It's saying, I'm gonna bring to Jesus in faith where I feel I don't have enough, but I'm also gonna humble myself at the feet of Jesus when I've not acknowledged him and felt like my capacity is sufficient alone. It's a reminder that no matter how much we think we can be generous out of our own wisdom and capacity, that with Jesus, who knows how much further or impactful our generosity can be. So generous people, they see the needs of others around them. They share what they have and they make a practice of submitting what is in their hands to Jesus with faith for all that he can do. And if we want to be a generous community, then we need to do the same thing too. We need to be a community that is concerned about the needs of others, where we see the sacrifice of those who've been serving week in and week out because there's not enough team, where we're aware of the challenges of people around us when we don't see them in here for a while, when we take time to scatter and spend time with others that we may not usually do, where we make an effort to keep informed through research and conversation about the needs and concerns of other cultures and countries, despite whether we're impacted directly or not. But we also need to be a community that shares, sharing our time. Like I said, by joining a team that stretch, even just the minimum amount you can do, you don't know how far that can go. Sharing our prayers, genuinely praying for people and not just saying that we can, because it's the Christian thing to do, but genuinely taking the time to pray for those around us. Sharing our skills, our connections, when a student or young person is struggling to find work experience and we have resources that can help them. Sharing our money to contribute to the vision of being a light for the city. But we also need to be a community that submits all it does to the Lord. Being a community that says, here is what we have, Lord. Here are our resources, here are the people, here are our schedules and plans. Come and do what only you can do. Where there's a culture of humility, people are able to be their most real and authentic selves. Nobody is afraid to be who they really are and share their true needs, because they know that when they walk through these doors, everyone has one. Everyone is a recipient of something. We want to be a community that keeps humble, by remembering that we ourselves are in receipt of generous love, that we don't give from self-sufficiency, from guilt, peer, or social pressure, not because of how we think we'll be perceived, not to earn love or trust, but because the love we've received from God is so all-consuming that we can do nothing but seek ways for others to experience the same. Now, in a moment, we're going to take communion, and this is going to allow us to focus on this generous love. And before we do that, I would love to pray. So if you're able to, why don't you stand in the room? And if the band could join us too. Yeah, God, Firstly, I just want to thank you for your generous love towards us. And God, even for everyone, anyone in this room who maybe hasn't experienced your love for a while, Lord, I pray even in this moment that your love would be poured out upon them. And God, I just pray that we'd be a community that seeks to see the needs truly of those around us, that we'd be people willing to share what we have, knowing that you're a God that sees and provides for us, but Lord, also that we'd be a people that are humble, where we say it's not our will, but yours be done, where we see our limitation, but know that we partner with a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly more. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss out.
If you want to find out more, visit our website, gastreet.org, or follow us on Instagram at gastreetchurch.